Thank you so much for joining us for this message. Whether you're watching for the first time or you're simply catching up on a message that you missed, we're so glad that you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you'll experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word Give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, Jennifer's going to help me with scripture. I'm going to ask those of you in the sanctuary to stand. And if at home, if you're comfortable to stand also, we're going to read at Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. We're going to read these verses, and I'll read verse 7, and you guys will repeat verse 8 back and forth, and Jennifer will, you will read along with her. Hear the word of the Lord, Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Verse 8.
Yes, everything is worthless when... For his sake, I have discarded everything, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ.
And become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteousness through faith in Christ, for God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Verse 10.
I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death.
So that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12.
I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me.
No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14.
I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us.
Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, will be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed long ago, we prayed this morning, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, you can have a seat. Well, we are in a series called A Blaze for God, and as we are, I want to let you know one practical way you can keep that fire hot. This Friday, 7 p.m., we are going to pray in the sanctuary on our monthly prayer night. You're welcome to join us. We'd love to pray for our families, for our nation, for revival. Come out this Friday at 7 p.m. If you're not able or feel comfortable, you can join us live stream, and we will storm the gates of heaven. Amen. Secondly, I want to say to you, last week we introduced with David Yang that our hand-to-hand partnership with Endeavor Elementary School, that we will not allow any children in our vicinity to go without food on the weekend. And KCC is going to partner with this school, Endeavor, over the last of this semester. And I just want to say to you, thank you for those you've already stepped up. But I want you to realize it's not a one and done. We must do this each and every week that these children don't go home without food for the weekend. So hit our app, hit our website, order. When you go to shopping, you can immediately get into the habit of picking up things and dropping it off at the church. See David Yang and the team there. I want us to have a team that is totally engaged with this so that we truly can be the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen? Well, we looked last week about what it means to be ablaze for God. And I gave you this example of a poker stick, and the stick was simply this. After this thing does all that it's supposed to do, after it stokes the fire and gets the fire hot, after it keeps the fire hot and you pull the stick out, you know that it's going to influence everything around it. And whatever gets close enough to it, it's going to feel the fire because of the heat that radiates from this, because it was in the fire and then everything around it is actually affected. I believe with all my heart that we as a church, when we as individuals become a blaze for God, we're like this poker stick, that we affect people in ways that we could never dream or imagine. Last week, I called you to jump over the edge into the arms of God, that you would never return, that life would begin, that you would get out of the bad soils and get into the good soils that Jesus talked about, and that would make all the differences in the world. And he's asking you and I today, are we willing to go there? So today, we're going to continue on with that same thought. How, not only what, and as I preached that sermon, I preached it in a way to say, what does it look like after you jump into the arms of God? What is the characteristics? Today, I want you to see that as we look at what it means to be ablaze with God, how one stays in the good soil. How does one stay ablaze for God? This is for everyone. I've been praying about today, and I'm fearful that for many of us, we think, oh, Pastor, when you talk about this, those are for the people that have a corner on God. Those are for people that somehow got it all together, but we could never relate to me. That is far from the truth. God wants every individual watching me right here, everybody in this place, to say he created you in your mother's womb to have this intimate, passionate relationship with him. Does anybody agree with me this morning? We know that once you get more of God, you will only want more. Let me give you a biblical example of Moses. In chapter 33 of Exodus, he had experienced God like nobody else. He had seen him in the burning bush. He had seen God walk by him. He had the Shekinah glory fall upon him. And even though he had all of that in chapter 33, he said yet to God, I want more. I want your glory to fall on me. What I'm trying to say is once you get more of God, you're going to continue to desire to see him in ways you would never want. You want more and more and more. You'll never be satisfied. You will understand the reality of why you were created. Some of you maybe say, well, Pastor, that sounds a little radical. That sounds a little much like a freak. And I'm here to tell you, it's neither radical nor freakish. It's a biblical worldview. Understanding that God created you for a relationship. Let me illustrate it this way. When my wife and I lived in the city of Baku, Azerbaijan, there weren't a lot of restaurants. But on one of our anniversaries or Valentine's, I don't remember, we went to a 5-star Italian restaurant. And we sat there probably 2 hours, enjoyed a meal of all meals. It was one of those you savor, the whole experience, the atmosphere, and the company, and all of that was amazing. We walked out of that amazing restaurant and still tasting it. As we walked out of that experience, right next to us was a McDonald's restaurant. And we were in the back of the McDonald's restaurant, and all we could do immediately was smell the grease from the fast food chain. And never in my time as I walked that city center, had ever even experienced the smell of the McDonald's restaurant other than the normal hamburger smell. But because I had just experienced a 5-course, 5-star gourmet meal, all of a sudden it put the entire experience into contrast. I wondered, how many of us in our walk with Jesus today are settling for McDonald's fast food? And he's wanting to give you and I a 5-star gourmet meal. Come on now, hear me out. Many of you in this place, and now I'm getting off my notes, God help me. Many of us have taken classes. And when you take a class, you understand what it takes to get the fulfillment of that class. And as you take that class, what you realize is that it's possible to audit the class. And as you audit the class, you don't have to read, you don't have to do the homework, you don't have to do anything but show up. You don't even have to do that. You just pay to sit in the class and observe the information. We all know that the people that truly experience the fullness of that class are the people that put everything into that class, who prepare before and after and experience the fullness of that education. I am convinced that the Church of Jesus Christ today, we have created a church in the United States that many of us are just auditing Jesus. We're not putting any effort into the relationship before. We're not putting any effort into the relationship after. We're coming into the sanctuaries of our churches, sitting passively, saying, I can put God in my little silo and then do everything else. That is simply not what the Bible is calling us to do, my friends. And the reason why I love Philippians chapter 3, it is my favorite passage. It gives you and I a snapshot into the heart of the Apostle Paul. Sure, we know everything about him. We know that he was a great leader. We know that he suffered. We know that he was committed. We know all these, he was educated and all these things. But in a glimpse, in a snapshot, you see this. I only want to know Christ. I consider everything else rubbish or garbage. It is literally translated in the Greek, cow dung. He's saying all the good things, and they're good, but all those good things line them up. If you compare that with me knowing Jesus Christ, it's like cow dung. That's what Paul is saying. And he understands. He says, not that I've already obtained it, not that I'm already there, but I press on toward the goal which Christ has called me, which is heavenward. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I must first understand the suffering of his death. And then my second favorite passage is Psalm 63 in the heart of King David. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I long for you. My body longs for you through the watches of the night. How many of us sitting here today can honestly say that that is the cry of your heart? That is what it truly means to be ablaze for God. And many of us who are just auditing Jesus, and many of us who are settling for McDonald's fast food restaurant, the reason why you've not truly understood what I'm saying is Jesus said to every single one of us, I have come that you would have life to its full, John 10:10. And until you and I switch from McDonald's to the five star, when we stop auditing and actually engaging, when we're able to echo the Apostle Paul, then we will understand. Do you have people in your life who you know are ablaze for God and their poker stick, whoever it comes around touches? Doesn't mean they're perfect, but you know that they are ablaze for God. I'm reminded of a friend of mine named Pastor Cedric Rodrigo. He's a Sri Lankan pastor in Sri Lanka. I visited him. Persecution, poverty, COVID, terrorism. We're about the same age. I've known him for many years. Been into his house, been into his churches. He's a minority in his own country because of his faith. What I want you to realize is this man is so on fire for God after this many 30, 40 years. He believes today with all the obstacles that it's even more possible to see the glory of God in Sri Lanka. We need people like that in our lives. I can talk to you about my sister Tirana, an Azerbaijani who's what I call a gateway person. And she loves Jesus and she shares Jesus with everyone. She's an intercessor. She loves God. I actually am standing here today alive because God woke her up in the middle of the night when I was actually physically at a stronghold that was physically killing me. And she prayed through the night that God would free me and that every demonic force would be destroyed. And when she finished praying, I was healed immediately. That's somebody that is ablaze for God. That's somebody that's not concerned about McDonald's. That's somebody who understands they were created for something way more than this. The problem I believe we have is that we haven't seen too many models. Complacency reigns in the church. Consumerism is what it's all about. Comfortability is where we long for. And that's simply not the gospel according to Jesus. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. You must know and count the cost before you engage with what he wants you and I to engage with. I just want to share three things with you quickly. If we're going to stay ablaze for God in these three elements, you all already know, but may they penetrate us in a different way. If we're going to stay ablaze for God, the first thing that I say to you today, church, hear me out. Be authentic. Can somebody repeat, let's be real? Say it again, let's be real. That's a great need in the church today. Too often we from the platform have communicated a message that somehow is not applicable to you. We have wooed you and wowed you with our education and talking about the Greek and the Hebrew, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the gospel of Jesus Christ, let's be real, is able to penetrate who you are and where you are at. And until we see the fire of God fall on us, you and I first must come to the point of being who we are and who God has called us to be. You see, it was Paul in this passage in Philippians 3 that says, my righteousness is no longer dependent on me. How many of you have been there? If I just do this, this, and this, then I'm good. He says, my righteousness is not by the law. It's only in faith in Jesus Christ. I acknowledge this is where I'm at. And he says, I've not even obtained this. He's being real. I'm not there yet. Some people would look at the Apostle Paul and say, this guy's got it. This guy's all together. I can never be there. And he's like, you don't even know me. I'm not there yet. But I'm pressing on. I'm going to fight the fight. We need to encourage each other with these words. Authenticity is when you and I start to live in such a way what we claim is actually what we live. Where our words and our actions match together. And our values and our priorities come together. Hypocrisy is killing us. Where we feel we've got to be one way, but our heart is far from it. Mark my words. What are you in private compared to what you are in public? If they are not the same, Your private world will eventually show itself in one form or one fashion. It's like a great oak tree in a small community, if you've ever seen them in the center of a community. Its beauty and its majesty. And one was struck by lightning. And after it was struck by lightning, it immediately started to fall apart. And they realized that outside was beautiful, but inside it was rotting and it was poisoned. And there's so many of us today in the church on the outside look really good. We're playing this game, but inside we're feeling the reality that we are dying inside. I'm here to declare to you guys that without authenticity, we are never going to understand what it means to be a blaze for God. Be honest with yourself. Without authenticity, we are doomed and we'll never be a blaze for God. You'll never have the power that God has promised us. He said in Acts 1:8, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will receive power, and without power, there's no victory. Without being authentic, you start duplicating. You start imitating other people. You start doing the things instead of us being free who we are. We feel like we have to all fit into this little mold, and that's never been God's intent. He created every single one of you exactly the way he created you so that you could bring what he gave you to make the body of Christ be what the body of Christ should be. And there's freedom in that. Can I get an amen? We need to be a church that is living this way, understanding that joy is there. Bill George says this, if you and I do not become authentic, number one, we will start rationalizing. In other words, we're really good about our lives. We're not who we are and the way we act, they don't really match up, but we'll rationalize the whole thing and we'll always be the victim. You can give every excuse why it is you aren't where you are, where you want to be. You can give every excuse why you're struggling with whatever it is you're struggling with. But until we become real and authentic, we go there. Or number two, you become a loner. You live this public life, but you can have nobody get any closer than this because you're afraid, even in some of our marriages, that if they really, really knew me, they would never love me. Do you know, my friends, that regardless of where you fall on the political spectrum, regardless of where you fall in your faith, every single person desires to be seen, heard, and valued. And once we moved in that direction and stopped being alone, and people can feel like they have trusted relationships, that they can be who they are, this lone, be a loner thing will no longer be necessary for us. Or you'll become a glory seeker. If you don't live authentic, it's about all you subsidize and you accommodate to try to feed your self-esteem. And it's all about you, even in the name of Jesus. Or you're a shooting star. In other words, you look really good, but you can't run the marathon. And so many people don't end well. You look at the Bible and the Old Testament, all the kings that started well and didn't finish well. Now in my 54th year of life, I can tell you that people who I've run and started this race with many years ago, many of them are struggling or they're complacent or they are simply denying their faith to this day. That should not be. Or we are basically an imposter. If we continue to not become real, we are wolves in sheep clothing. The world is waiting, friends. When we become a blaze for God and authentic, we would say to the world, I have nothing that I'm selling. I am just truly living my life. How do we get there? We begin to slow down. Be still and know that I am God. Listen. Listen and then journal. And let's start, if we don't have them, let's begin with relationships. So many of us don't have relationships. That's why I've cried out for community groups. That's why I've cried out for you and I to be engaged. If we don't get this and do trusted relationships, we're never going to be real. Until I trust you, am I ever going to let you really see me? But I believe that we can still do this. I still have the audacity to believe that church can be a safe place. Even with all the abuses, I still believe in the power of the gospel. Does anybody else? If we're going to be a blaze for God, we've got to be authentic. Let me give you the second one. We got to be clean. Can somebody say, be clean? Say it again, be clean. Hebrews 12:14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The church is struggling. As I said last week, when I dealt with our political situation and the situation of our country. We pray for revival. We pray for God to come down and light the fire. But until we repent and become clean, nothing else is going to happen. And it starts with me. I've got to be willing to say, I have sinned. I am struggling. Pray for me. James says, confess your sins to one another. Trusted relationships. Pray for one another, and then you will be healed. And when you confess, he will cleanse us and make us righteous. Isaiah did not even know he was unclean until he was in the presence of God, right? And once he was in the presence of God, he realized something. I'm a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips. How do I know this? For my eyes have seen the Lord. Once we become ablaze for God, all of a sudden, he will begin to show himself to us in ways we otherwise would never be seen. It doesn't mean we're always going to be perfect. Moses was a man who saw God, but yet he had lacked faith and he sinned. David was a man after own God's heart, and he went sideways and horrible things happened. That's why I know it's a cliche. We need relationships and accountability if we're going to be clean. I don't care how much you try and desire to be clean. You are called to do it in relationships, together. Sex, money, and power are our greatest temptations with being clean. Let me just say this. Sexuality as it relates to porn is at a problem that we can't even begin to wrap our brains around. We are in sexual confusion in our country like we have never seen before. And as we address these things, we've walked away from truth, afraid we will offend people. I'm not here to offend anybody. I love you regardless of who you are and what you think. I'm not the judge, hallelujah. Don't want to be the judge. But I will still love you and still believe truth. Does this not make sense to anybody? I ask you again, does this not resonate with anybody out here? So it's very clear, if we're going to be accountable, we need to admit where we are with this sexuality. Am I addicted? Am I struggling with my sexuality? Am I sexually active? The Bible makes it very clear. Here's a worldview. You ready? God made you man. God made you woman. He gave you the gift of intimacy, sex, and he said it is to be celebrated and enjoyed in the confines of a lasting covenant called marriage. There is the Bible, there's the biblical worldview. And if we're going to be ablaze for God, we have to call it truth in love. Secondly, money. Let's call it out. It is our God. It is a root of evil, is it not? It is the American challenge. We want to serve Jesus and we want to serve money. And Jesus said, you can't do both. You will serve one or the other. You want comfortability. I'm not calling you to that. He's saying to us today, set the standard. How do you spend your money? The third thing he says is about power. This issue called the power of the tongue, the power of gossip, the power of slander, the power of saying, I'm right, you're wrong, not letting letting unwholesome talk come out of your mouth or your fingers, doing things that simply are not of God. If we're going to do this thing right and address this and many other things to be clean, we need to understand that as Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one individual does another. Get into an accountability group. I encourage you to Google John Wesley's covenant questions, 22 questions. Let me give you a few of the questions that we need to do in relationship if we're going to be clean. Am I honest in all my acts, words today? Do I exaggerate? Can I be trusted? Am I a slave to dress, to friends, to work, or habits? Do I pray about spending how I spend my money? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, distrustful? Am I proud? Do I complain constantly? Is Christ real to me? In answering all these questions, have I lied? You want to get serious about being clean? You need to do it in relationship, understanding that we flee, according to Thessalonians, from sexual temptation. That we don't pursue the love of money and we get healthy relationships. How do we do that? It's very simple. Romans 8, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Stop living in Romans 7. Every time I want to do good, I end up doing bad. Don't live in Romans 7. Live in Romans 8. Be ablaze for God. Do what God has called us to do. You can't do this by your own. The key point is simply this. Holiness is connected to being ablaze with God, and it is possible for everyone. If we're going to be ablaze for God and jump over into edge into the arms of God, we need to be authentic, and we need to be people that are clean. Let me give you the final and the last one is we need to be honest. Can somebody say, be honest? Honest is once we are real and once we are confessing, then it enables me to be better at being honest to where I'm at. The gospel connection, which I introduced last week. Read one chapter every week, every day. Write one thing about that chapter and text it to somebody. It's on our apps, on our website. Start with me. This week, today, 1 week later, we're in Matthew 8. But this thing about honesty in chapter 7, it reminds me, if I'm not honest, here's Jesus' words, what's going to happen? This is just from my reading. I'm going to start judging people if I'm not honest. I'm going to start picking up the stones if I'm not honest. Why? I don't want to look at me. I want to project on you. Then I'm going to go to the broad road that leads to destruction because I'm going to build my house on the sand and it won't stand. If I'm not honest, I'm going to continue to struggle. This is my mirror. Can I go there and really see myself for where I'm at? The God of comfort will do what he needs to do. The pride is the enemy of honesty, my friends. It is. I've never seen, I shouldn't say never, but it's been rare. Have I ever seen people who threw out publicly some proclamation, whether it is political, theological, relational, or informative, and they weren't right, and after it was clear they weren't right, that they would come back and say, well, maybe I didn't get that one right. Maybe I jumped the gun. Maybe that was a little premature. Maybe that was a little judgmental. Never see that. Pride is the enemy of honesty. So let's be honest here today. God asked the church in Ephesus, you had it, you were ablaze for me. You were on fire for me. You loved me. You were serving me so well. But you lost your love. I wonder how many of you here today, you know what I'm talking about, what it means to be ablaze with God. You know what it means to be real, what it means to be clean, what it means to be honest. But your prayers, your heart has become hard and your prayers have become cold. For a variety of reasons. And some of you are still serving Jesus, and nobody would know different but Jesus and you. Let's be honest. Where's your heart today? What's happened inside you that's caused you to get there? The key point is simply this. We got to be honest with ourselves and God and others. We need to be honest with God, ourselves, and others. That's the only way we can be ablaze for God. It's easy to jump into the arms of God. It's another thing to get into the nitty-gritty of what we're talking about now. And this thing about being clean, being authentic, and being honest, it's not a one and done. It's an everyday choice. Every day I have to choose it. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. I'm going to ask the worship team to come out if they will. Would you close your eyes and take a moment and let the Holy Spirit speak to you? What's he saying to you about this thing called being ablaze for God? Where are you at with it? What's happening inside of you? There's an old song I want to sing, not sing, but share with you the lyrics. As your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, it's entitled "A Stranger to Your Holiness." Is this you this morning? Looks like the boy is in trouble again, living much too close to the edge of sin. Now he finds himself where he should not have been. Oh God, why is your peace so hard to find? And the answer to the question that haunts my mind, oh Lord, your ways are not like mine. And it pounds like thunder within my breast, all the anger of my humanness. And although I call you Lord, I must confess, I'm a stranger to your holiness. A stranger to your holiness. Can we really be what we're meant to be? Jesus' people, living by the Spirit, and living free. My heart longs to serve, but it wanders so aimlessly. Oh Lord, you deserve every part of me. And you hear my cry. Are you crying out today? You hear my cry of desperation as I see the wickedness of my ways. And you alone are my salvation. And oh Lord, I've learned this one thing to be true, is the closer that I get to you, that I'm a stranger to your holiness. I don't want to be a stranger. Don't want to be a stranger. I want it to burn like fire in my soul. Come, Lord Jesus. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Those of you online, as the Holy Spirit spoken to you about an issue called authenticity and an issue called being clean and being honest, your only answer is Jesus. And if God is speaking to you online, would you just type in the chat if you're able to say, I want Jesus, and our moderators will engage you. Be real and be honest. I want Jesus. That's all you need to say, and they will engage you. And for the rest of you that are in the sanctuary, some of you jumped over the edge last week into the arms of God. But how are you going to stay in the good soil? Is going to be if you practice these three things. How many of you today have been settling for McDonald's and you need a gourmet meal, a five-star? How many of you have been auditing Jesus and it's time to give it everything you've got? And these things I shared with you will help you to get there. I'm going to ask, as I did yesterday or last Sunday, if God is speaking to you in the sanctuary, would you stand just as a testimony so I can pray for you? Is there anybody in this room right now that the Holy Spirit is speaking to? And you will just stand. I don't need to say another word. You know that you know what has just been shared is relevant to you. Go ahead. All over the place. I'll give you a second. It pounds like thunder in your chest. You want more of Jesus. Yes. Anybody else? I'll give you a moment. Lord, you see those online that say, I want Jesus, and you see those standing this morning who need your help. Some of them are facing some incredible challenges. Impossible, but for you. So enable them courage, strength, and the ability to move forward and stop playing games. Stop eating at McDonald's. Stop auditing and truly be the men and women you've called them to be. We commit them to you right now and pray that you would give them all that they need. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.